from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up?
Let's go.
Sports. That was Gus Johnson.
Or an Ed McMahon if you're a little older. Yes.
Yes.
You are correct, sir. Rest in peace, Ed McMahon, right?
R.I.P. Ed McMahon. Yeah, he's dead.
Long dead, right?
Yeah.
Super dead?
Very dead and very old when he died, I think.
I would think so.
I think like upper 80s.
Yeah, you never know, because there's just those dudes you always think are old, and then you realize, like I think, didn't someone recently passed away? Was it... Did Bob Barker just go?
Barker's dead.
Yeah, people said we killed him, because we talked about it the day before. People said I killed him.
There
I did not.
Thank you.
Sorry. Yeah.
Because like you would think that because Bob died just last August, he died like a year ago, and you would think that Bob was dead like long before that. But
I did in the game of Dead or Alive with Isaac, and it didn't go well.
Yeah,
and like, I got blamed.
And like Richard Simmons, so
I think he died like this. The very it's like
he died like 7 hours later.
Nick Cassianos hitting a home run.
Yeah, it was like that.
I don't think I'm going to be put on this headset again. I just killed Bob Barker.
So I just wanted to make sure that that we weren't.
The great.
Yeah, Ed died in 2009.
Ed McMahon passed away in 2009 at the age of 86.
But Tom Brennan, by the way, on the call. He's back. He's doing the pack too.
Who? Tom Brenneman?
Yeah, Brenneman.
Yeah.
What did I say? Is it Brennan?
You said Brennan.
Brenneman.
But that's not right. It's Brenneman.
Brenneman.
And it's Thom, thank you.
Oh.
It is
Well, I mean, it's
Thom.
It's not. It's spelled
Thom, which
he spells it T-H.
Anyway, he was back.
T-H-O-N.
So he did put on that headset again. Back calling pack two games.
Yeah, but it probably wasn't the same headset.
No, I don't think so.
So
I don't
technically.
I don't know if he's
well.
Going
in that
back
case,
to...
he could say that every different series he goes to,
yeah,
or
that's
different
true.
Game he goes to.
I don't know if I'm gonna be putting on this headset again.
Not that one.
Now, do those guys have their own headsets?
Nah, I don't think so.
Like you and I do.
You get your own earpiece, like when you're doing TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do a mold for you.
Yeah, but I don't think
Do you think he has a golden microphone that he brings in with him?
Well, I know some like musicians do that. They don't want to share the mic. Comedians. You know, they don't want to...
Musicians have their own microphones?
Yeah, like if you're doing, a festival sort of thing, you don't just use, you bring your own.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, that's why they have 18 trucks following them around the country with all their microphones in there.
You know, just rock up and be like, hey, whatever is there is there.
You do rock out. You rock...
Ow!
You don't rock up, you rock out.
Rock out. Let's go. Ow!
Yeah, it's Tuesday. Did you guys know that? It's Tuesday.
Yeah, the whole holiday happened.
Yeah, it feels like a Monday. Now, normally, throughout the course of the history of this program, we have worked on Labor Day, and then we have repeated our Labor Day show the next day.
And somehow the boss got the memo.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just mailing it in.
I think he got it from HR and was like, hey, we can't be doing this. It's Labor Day.
Yeah, you can't make those guys work.
Yeah.
They work every day of the year.
Except for Seahawk games and Duck basketball.
Vacations.
And, you know, other random
Metallica
holidays.
Concerts.
Metallica. Well, to be fair, that was a college mission and then roped around a Metallica trip. So it was twofold.
How was
You okay?
Metallica?
Well, no. Well, I want to ask about that because I was looking at Metallica's set list today.
Yes.
I like to look at concert set lists.
Yeah. Repeat tour. Two shows, no repeats.
Yeah, that's not necessarily true.
What do you mean?
Ooh. Well, I looked at the set list.
There is no repeats.
Well, okay, but if they take one song out and put another song in, then
huh?
What are you talking about?
So on this tour, they're playing Friday and Sunday wherever they go.
Right.
There is no song that is played on Friday that gets played on Sunday.
Oh, okay. So that's different. I was thinking like they never repeated a set list. They repeated the set list.
Oh,
The Friday set list is the same everywhere they go.
You'd have to have a thousand songs.
There are some bands that never have the same set list. They just mix in different songs or they're like, well, we're not going to play that tonight. We're going to play this.
Yeah.
And they have enough of a catalog to do so, which I would think Metallica does.
Springsteen does that. I have a buddy who's seen Springsteen like hundreds of times. And he's like, he's talked to the band members enough times that he's like, I like that you sprinkled this one in tonight. And he'll see him in seven cities in a row.
Yeah. And so I thought Metallica was doing that bit. And then I looked at the set list and I'm like, they're not doing that bit. It's the same Friday show in Vancouver, BC as it was in Seattle. And it was the same Sunday show in Vancouver, BC as it was in Seattle.
With like two or three different songs. Yeah, there's a couple different songs every night that get changed up. But yeah, if you go see the show on Friday and then Sunday, you buy the ticket for each show. You don't, it's completely different.
So you get for me, seeing a band like Metallica would be all about just the hits that I know.
Sure.
So one of the shows, they'll play Black and Enter Sandman. Mm-hmm. And then the other show, they'll play, what's the other big Metallica song?
Like the two closing on Friday night, they closed. Like
Where the Streets Have No Name, you know, that kind of thing. Am I wrong?
That one.
No?
Not quite there. Hello? Yeah, the encore, the finale on the first night was Seek and Destroy and Master of Puppets.
Yeah, there you
go. And then the second night, it's One and Enter Sandman.
Yeah, One. Okay, and then you have other hits if you go to another. Anyway, who cares?
What are those other hits?
I don't know. I know One. We're one, but we're not the same, right?
Yeah, same, yeah.
Where the Streets Have No Name.
Sounds just like them.
All the Metallica hits.
All of the hits, yeah.
Very popular.
You, when it comes to hockey and Metallica, it's beautiful.
In the Name of Love, you know, the songs.
All the songs.
Anyway, I was a little disappointed that they only play 16 songs and they don't even do an encore. Like, what's up with the Metallica?
The encore is just the two end. But yes, they don't leave the stage and then come back. They don't do the ruse of, hey, we're leaving and we're back. No, they just play all the way through.
Yeah. And it's only 16 songs. It's
imagine if bands...
A little light.
Imagine if crowds for big bands really did have to still earn an encore.
Right.
Like they did one in one city.
Right.
But here you just weren't good enough, so we're not coming back.
Yeah, you know
what?
We're out of here.
Can you imagine the social media outcry of the person who didn't get the extra two songs because they didn't cheer loud enough?
Yeah.
I think that would be great.
I kind of think it would be too.
I appreciate that they skip the formality of we're going away and then, we're coming back. No, they just play.
Well, encores are kind of cool, though. Like they get people fired up.
Yeah. Well, they just.
I like encore. Metallica, look, let's be honest. Kind of suck.
Clearly.
16 songs, no encore. What the F?
Yeah. 90,000 people, two nights in a row, would disagree with you.
It's embarrassing.
It is, clearly.
Well, anyway, how was Bellingham? Bellingham.
Bellingham?
Is that where you were?
Yeah. Well,
Bellingham?
Yeah, and then down through Seattle.
Yeah.
So, yes, the boy is, we're set.
Western Washington. What an idiot.
For one final run. Yeah.
My son is an idiot.
Transferred his senior year. So, we've went from whatever the hell the Central, the Wildcats, and now we're Vikings.
I was thinking Eastern. He was at Central.
He was at Central.
Why doesn't he go to Eastern next?
Because I think that's like in Wenatchee or something. And who the hell wants to be out there?
Home of, who's the guy that was in before? Will Ortner.
Yes.
Home of Will Ortner.
No, Will went to Central, which is where my son went. You are really dialed in tonight. I mean, you are just...
Eastern Washington, home of Vernon Adams.
Vernon Adams. Cooper
Am I
Cup.
Right about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are on fire right now. So Bellingham is up on the Canadian border, and it was a nice little college town.
It's nice up there. I've been up there.
Look, I'm not going to lie. It was way better than Ellensburg. So I think he made a good decision.
Yeah, it's nicer up there.
Yes.
I don't know if it's a good school. I think it's a good school. A lot of smart people go there?
Yeah. He basically had his choice between state schools. He tried going to Portland State, but they didn't take all of his credits. They would have had to kick him back an entire year.
Now, here's a fun question. Is there a Northern Washington?
No. No.
Why?
I don't know. So you got all the ones that you could go to. You got Eastern, Central, Western. There's no Southern Washington. And there's no Northern Washington. So if you want to go to one of the directional schools, there you go. Yeah, Washington State, Vancouver. You got that, but that's like Washington State South, but they don't call it that.
I think they should change that to Southern Washington. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, it is a little weird when you say like you go to Washington State University, but you go to Washington State, Vancouver.
Yeah.
It's like,
well, what about Oregon? They don't have a Northern Oregon. You have Southern Oregon, Eastern Oregon, and Western Oregon, but you don't have a Northern. Should that be Portland State?
Yeah, it's a little weird. It's a little wonky.
Yeah,
but I just don't like when you do at BYU now, and look, I'm not saying that I have a lot of BYU pride, like, you know, whatever, but you if you go to BYU Idaho, you're not going to BYU. You went to Rick's College. They just changed it to BYU Idaho so that people that couldn't get into BYU feel better about going to Rick's College. But it's not. Just like Washington State Vancouver is not Washington State. It's not. You can't say you went to Washington State. You just didn't do it.
No, you have to say you went to Washington State Vancouver.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if you try to pass that off as Washington State,
oh, they get very.
That's going to get flagged.
Yeah,
same as thing with, deceitful.
Yeah, Corvallis has the one in Bend, and I'm not saying that Bend wouldn't be a great place to go to college, but you didn't go to Oregon State. You didn't.
Yeah, you little bitch.
Those satellite campuses, it's weird.
I worked with a guy who went to like the U of O's extension in Bend or something like that, and he was like a Duck alum, and everybody around the office was like, "Oh yeah, he's a fake Duck alum, but yeah, he's a big Ducks honk." And I didn't know this about him. He introduced himself. I'm like, "Oh, so you must not be the guy who's like the fake Duck." And he's like, huh? And I'm like, oh, yeah, sorry.
It's weird. I guess that's you. I'm just saying. Just be a little, you know, have some intellectual honesty when it comes to that. Like if the University of Kansas had a satellite campus in, I don't know, what's another city in Kansas? Like Topeka. Yeah.
Wichita.
If you didn't go to Lawrence, then you didn't go to the University of Kansas.
There are med schools in Kansas City.
KU Salina.
Well, at least then KU Salina.
K-State? There is a K-State Salina.
Is there?
Yeah, no. Out there.
Well, are you ashamed of that?
Well, yeah, that's stupid. Yeah, nobody likes that.
No. Just
all those ag nerds.
You vandalize it and stuff?
Yeah, I don't for like. Fun. It's like if you went Purple. To like ASU, Arizona State has the big online presence now. That's their whole thing. You can't go to Arizona State and you took your classes in Vancouver, Washington. That doesn't, no. It's not the same. You went to DeVry, or New Phoenix or something.
What if you went to a school online?
Yeah. No.
What do you mean no?
That's no.
That's no?
It's no. You can't.
So I got a degree. Let's say I got a degree from Boise State online.
Yeah.
I didn't go to Boise State?
Nah.
Really?
You went to Boise State. Well, here's the one.
What did I do? I went to Boise State Online?
You went to Boise State Online. So here's this is the real thing. For the last handful of years, I've been slowly, for no other reason than to just say that I do it, or that I did it. I am working towards, I will, probably next year at some point, I will get my MBA from Arkansas State.
Really?
Yes.
What the hell are you doing?
I don't know. Just, I like to learn.
What's the matter with you?
So, dude, I take like three classes a year. It would be the longest MBA in the history of
MBAs. So you fly to Arkansas on every other Monday?
Arkansas State had the cheapest online MBA from a real university.
How much
is it? It's cheap. It's cheap compared to what you're going to find elsewhere.
Yeah. I have buddies who've done this. One of them was in the military, and while he was deployed for like a year and a half, he got his MBA at Liberty.
Yeah.
And so now he's like, I'm a fighting Jerry Falwell.
So, look, next year at some point, when that happens, can I really say that I went to Arkansas State?
Well, I mean, you will have an MBA, and it will be from Arkansas State.
I've driven through Arkansas once, and so I spent a grand total of an hour and 15 minutes in Arkansas. Don't really have a desire to go back to Arkansas. I don't think I can claim Arkansas State.
I think technically you can't say I went there if you never physically went there,
exactly.
But you could say I graduated from their curriculum.
There you go. I think that, to be fair, I think I will have to say, yes, really? I graduated online from Arkansas State. But having not stepped foot in that state, Since driving to New Orleans in 1999, I cannot in good conscience
Jonesboro
claim
that's where it is.
Arkansas. But I think if you went there, I think if you went there and showed up to pick up your diploma, then you can be like, yeah, I went to Arkansas State.
Guess who's not doing that? Me, I don't even know if they would let me. Like, could I show up and graduate?
Walk with the class?
What if you said, I graduated from Arkansas State? You left out the online part. I graduated online from Arkansas State. No. Did you graduate from Arkansas State? Because you did.
I feel like it's cheating.
You did.
I feel like it's cheating.
Really?
Yeah. It's cheating.
Okay.
Because you're not graduating from the campus. You're graduating from the institution's curriculum.
Yeah. I think that's cheat.
Okay. So you have to make the distinction.
Yes.
Online.
Yes.
Didn't set footsies there.
No.
But.
Yeah. Well, don't.
It was really cheap.
Yeah, don't. Exactly. If someone asks me why, my response will be.
It was really cheap.
It was really cheap.
Arkansas State. The most random thing ever.
Right? Well, again, like. Have you seen like what the cost of the Portland State one is? Because that was like the original. I was like, I'll just go to State. It was a lot.
How many years does an MBA take? Two?
Well, you do it my way. It's going to take more like 5 or 6, but yeah.
So you're just kind of easing your way through it?
Oh, yeah. There is no end game to this other than, something to do. It's kind of fun, and you get to say you have one, and I don't know, you can engage in business conversations. I don't know. It's kind of one of those things. I got free time. And when you do it in a very, in like little chunks like this, it's really not even labor intensive.
Yeah. Do you even remember anything that you said it's like 6 years, like your first two classes, you probably don't even remember. You got to go retake them.
Probably.
Look, you know nothing.
I know some things, but yeah. I mean, do you remember a lot of stuff about your degree?
I do knew that.
I remember nothing.
Yeah.
Except for gymnastics.
There you go. Well, my degree is actually in health science and emergency medicine, like at BYU. And I tell you all the time, if you're relying on me to save you from something, boy, you're asking me to remember something that I took in 1999. That's a rough go. That's a rough go.
Says here, Arkansas State MBA program, $12,635. Am I close?
You're close.
Nice.
It's tasty.
That's pretty low.
Yeah. That's pretty low.
I mean, for education.
Yes.
But who needs that?
There are a lot of places, and I mean by a lot, I mean most, that it's
50 G's.
It's more for 1 year.
Sure. Yeah, and you're getting 18 months here.
There's a reason why.
Yeah. I mean, they don't really even have professors, right? Yeah, like, this is like.
There is a lot of.
Here, read this book.
There's a lot of video classes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pre-taped.
All right. Well, I'm glad we covered that. Yeah. We got some new information out of you today. Very excited. Opening segue there.
True story.
Yeah, we weren't here yesterday. Well, the whole point was, I was telling you, we weren't here yesterday.
No.
So we have a full new, unique radio program today.
Yeah.
With our opinions.
With hot takes.
Yeah. Well, I don't have anything hot.
Oh.
I usually don't week one. I know a lot of people do. Yeah. I don't. I try not to overreact.
There's only one school that you can make a hot take after week one. That's because of week zero and then into week one. It's the
Florida
only school.
State.
It's the only school that it is acceptable to have a hot take about. Everything else, calm the F down.
All right. We're going to calm the F down.
Yeah.
Coming up next, the poll question pertains to Oregon's win? Over Idaho.
The most unsatisfying win of the weekend. How about that?
Wasn't pretty.
No.
So we'll get to that next on The Fan. All right, nice to have you along. Tuesday program. We were not here yesterday, so the opinions today are fresh. We are going to start with the poll. That's what we always do.
Mm-hmm.
And I put this poll question up right after Oregon closed out Idaho.
Thank God.
And so it's been up there all weekend, and it's going to remain up there until poll question time tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. Timesies. Let's get to Friday's poll question first. Now, you weren't here for this.
No, I was not.
But it's amazing how 1 week of football changes our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
So the poll question on Friday on X at 1080 The Fan was, which coach has the most pressure entering the college football season?
Mm.
Mario Cristobal won with 42% of the vote.
Okay.
Deion Sanders, 24%. Lincoln Riley, 22%. And Dabo Swinney, 12%.
Well, the correct answer to that wasn't even up there. Maybe that's why you didn't put it on there. It's Billy Napier. I mean,
well, no. okay, so this is not about being fired.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's... Yeah.
He's done.
He's number one on that list.
Yeah.
This is about pressure.
Yeah.
And who is feeling the most pressure. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be fired.
Sure.
But those four.
And there's some heat on all of those. And,
yes.
And a lot of them performed quite nicely and alleviated some of the pressure. And then one couldn't have fallen more on his face. And it's
well, quick. That was Dabo.
That's
and
Dabo.
He only got 12%.
Well,
and Cristobal looked, you know, Miami looked good.
Yep.
And he gets 42%.
I'll tell you what. You want to talk about how quickly things change in the world of college football. It is almost, I guess it's not unfathomable because we've seen it happen. But where Clemson was 4 years ago versus where Clemson's at now, and this is still a very talented team. We look at composite rankings. That's a top five talent team in the country. In fact, one of the listeners who kind of, we always talk gambling with me, he sent me a text. He said, hey, is there any way Clemson wins this game? And I remember saying back to him, I said, from a talent standpoint, these teams are not far apart. But I said, there's no more talented team that I trust less than Clemson. I said, I would not bet on Clemson in a big game. And then to no show like that on the offensive side of the ball and your defense just got worn out, it just goes to show you the gap that is between Clemson and the big boys, the Georgias of the world. And it's been that way for a couple of years, and I feel like that gap's getting bigger, even though Clemson recruits at a top 10 level. I mean, it's shocking. And that's one to keep an eye on, that when you've been at the mountaintop, not once, but twice, and you've stayed there for the better part of a decade, fans are not going to like going back to mediocrity. And it sure feels like they are sliding back to big boy mediocrity. Because, you know, Clemson mediocrity is 9 wins. But 9 wins get you fired at places like Clemson, especially when the 3 losses are to the teams that you used to be able to beat, and you're not even competitive.
Well, their offense is atrocious,
it's
too.
Beyond bad. And now you
got... Of course, they did play Georgia.
But you got ex-players. You got Roddy White tweeting about white guys on the field. I mean, it's funny that when you look at the fall of programs, it's almost always the same recipe. You know, it's a lot of times it starts with a coach being pissy at media, right? Or closing down practices and getting bristly and how dare you question me. We saw that, by the way, with Billy Napier talking about people in basements in Florida, which no one even has. Dabo certainly has this, where he's going at it with callers on his show to where he's not even taking calls anymore. Now you got ex-players. That's always one where players are like, this isn't the legacy I left behind. You've got Clemson players now tweeting about that in real time. You've got ex-players that have left the program taking shots at it. I mean, these are all things that you kind of see when you start to see a program kind it crumble, and dude, Clemson has all of those. It's just it's not good. I would say that there is a poison that has taken root in Clemson's program, and if they're not careful, that will consume it in another year or two.
Yeah, he was my vote. Yeah. But he only got 12% on that poll. Okay, so to today's poll question, which again I put up there on Saturday after Oregon narrowly escaped beating Idaho.
Yeah.
24-14.
It was the worst
Chase.
Dominant performance that I've seen in years, and it was by far the worst win of an important team in the weekend, if those things make sense.
So the poll question is, and we'd like you to go smash that vote button. Well, there are multiple vote buttons, but whatever vote button you smash,
yeah,
smash it hard, okay?
Please.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being most worried, how concerning is Oregon's opener against Idaho? 12.
12.
Yeah.
It goes to 11. This one goes to 12.
12.
Certainly not a 12 for me.
8, 5, or 2?
5.
Okay, you're at a 5.
5.
Let me get you some results.
Well, so I watched that sitting at a bar up in Seattle.
Yeah, you did.
And then I went back and I tried to take a little bit of a closer look at it. Again, don't have the All-22, but went back and actually watched that game. And that's why I said, the best way I can put it, it was the most dominant, lackluster performance that you can see. And there are some issues that if those things continue... Look, against a good team, they lose that game.
Like, well, yeah.
Every time. But there weren't things that I saw that were just glaring, that were like, oh my God, these are systemic problems. So I think we'll learn a lot more about Oregon against Boise State So certainly there's some concern. When you are billed as an Ohio State, Georgia type team, and you are in a dogfight and you need a fourth down conversion, which, by the way, without the help of the offsides penalty, you may not get, and you're maybe giving the ball back to Idaho with a chance to go win the game, it's inexcusable. And by the way, Lanny knows it too. He can say all he wants about praising wins. Did you hear his press conference after the game when someone asked him what the message? Do we have that clip where he asked what the message to his team was?
Yeah, well, we have the we have a bunch of stuff. We have landing clips from the postgame presser. We also have landing from the locker room as well.
Well, play the one where he's they say what was their message to the team. This was
Okay. We don't have that. What he said.
We do in the system. I have to find it.
Okay, so I'll just someone asked him.
Yeah.
What is your message to the team? Once the game is over, and Lanning's response was basically, that's between me and the team. If I wanted you to hear it, you'd be in the locker room too. And it was terse. Dude, the message in the locker room was, you pull your head out of your ass, because we lose 9 out of the 10 games, or I guess it'd be 11, 10 out of the 11 games remaining on our schedule if we play that way. No one is more pissed about that on the offensive side of the ball than Dan Lanning. So to say that there's no concern, and they're going to say all the right things, and they're going to say everything's great, and we just need to tweak this, and we need to tweak that, and we can talk about them, because I went through and dug deep into this. There are some real concerns. Are they unfixable? No. Remember last year, Alabama beat, I believe it was Central Florida? I think it was 17, or might have been South Florida? 17-3 early on, and we were like, oh my God, Alabama sucks. Well, Alabama was one play away from playing for the national championship. So I will not freak out about a week one result, good or bad. Because I got some people now saying, like Greg McElroy saying that he thinks Miami's the best team in the country.
Whoa.
Just everyone, whoa, deep breath. Exactly, right?
South Florida, 17-3.
17-3, right? And Milroe looked terrible, and you know, that led to eventually Milroe being benched and coming back. And you know, so you just can't take week one and freak out about it. But when you are billed as a juggernaut and you can't, and this is my biggest thing, when you can't run the ball on a team that has no business being on the field with you and is playing a style of defense that is daring you to run the ball, that is concerning. Because if you can't improve that area right there, you're going to lose ball games. And not just to the Boise States of the world, or I should say not to the Ohio States of the world. You're going to lose to some teams that you have no business losing to.
Okay, so here's the poll question. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being most worried, how concerning is Oregon's opener against Idaho? You said 5. Right now, 8 leading the way.
Ian, that's, I just can't do that after week one.
36% say 8.
You dominated that game.
27% say 12. 26% says 5, and only 11% are at a 2.
I will systematically walk Duck Fan off a ledge, because that game easily could have been a 40-point win.
It was a weird game.
It was a very weird game.
Crisis averted, but damn, that would have been the biggest upset of all time. I mean, it wouldn't have. It would have, right?
It would have been, yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. I don't.
It was like a
44 and a half.
Jesus, I mean, man.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got some audio.
Got up to 47.
Jeez.
Good bet.
Kickoff.
Good thing I took the Vandals.
Boy.
Wait, no, I didn't.
No. I mean,
that's why you sit those out.
It was.
Yeah, exactly.
It was ridiculous.
Okay, so we've got some Lanning post-game audio. We actually do get to hear what he said to the team, or at least part of it, after the game. We've got some of that. And, let's get into it. Suk is going to systematically talk you off the ledge.
Yeah.
Or walk you off the ledge. Or is it talk?
Walk you back.
Walk you back from the ledge.
Back from the ledge. Don't jump.
You still could jump, but
don't jump.
Maybe you'll jump next week.
Look, if that you know, is possible. But don't jump this week.
It was a weird game. I feel like it was just a one-off. Let's come back and talk about it next. Here's Buck.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste, because you know All your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, Oregon, they eke one out against Idaho. Now, if you didn't see the game, you kind of glossed over this. But you may look at the score and go, okay, well, they didn't play very well, but 10-point game. Yeah. You know, Idaho probably wasn't, you know, I mean.
No, it was.
Well, I'm just saying, like, yeah. if you did not see the game, yeah. You read the box score, you look at the stats because it looks like they torched them. And then you look at the final score, you go, oh, well, it was probably, maybe they scored a couple, yeah, like 14 late or something. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, you probably don't think it was that close. Yeah. Dude, yeah. You glossed over it, but that freaking offsides, yep. They were going to, it was 17-14. Yep. And they were at the, I don't remember what yard line they were on. They were down inside the red zone of Idaho.
Yeah, they were 25 or something, and it was 4th and 7, and Oregon was going for
fourth and seven, and I couldn't, did you think they should go for that?
Boy, well.
Up 3? I mean, I know you don't want to be up 6.
I guess the idea is, I was like, oh my God, I can't believe, you know, because this, but here, to me, it makes no sense. But this is Dan Lanning, and yeah. Dan Lanning has told us who he is for 3 straight years.
You're talking your helmet!
He doesn't give a rip. He's going for it. Like, he just is.
I didn't like that. I thought maybe you would take the points.
Well, as good as your defense has been, the only two things that Idaho had done all game were trick plays. Other than that, your defense had absolutely, they were 2-for-13 or 2-for-12 on third down.
Yeah.
Kick the field goal, go up 6, yeah. And make Idaho drive down and score a touchdown right. To beat you.
That's what I think, too.
But, I mean, I get the logic of that if you kick a field goal, a touchdown beats you. If you don't kick the field goal and you don't get it, a touchdown beats you. So
yeah.
I get it. But 4th and 7, like, it's one thing. When it's 4th and 2, I got no issue going for it. 4th and 7, what?
I didn't like it. But then there was an offsides. If you didn't see it, there was an offsides, 4th and 2, and then they converted.
Yeah. Because who knows?
And got
because
once
the play was offsides, then obviously it was an incomplete pass. But it was a free play. So who knows how that would have gone. But boy, I'll tell you what, that was a pucker factor of 17 out of 10 when they were going for it on 4th and 7 and the idea of, can Idaho actually do this? And then, of course, they got it. They scored, and that was it. Idaho could never do anything offensively. But this is why I said it's the most dominant, like, oh, my God, game that I've ever seen. If I told you before the game that Idaho was going to go 2-of-12 on third down and you were going to go 7-of-16, that you were going to have 487 yards and Idaho was going to have 217, if I told you that you were going to hold the ball for 20 more minutes than Idaho, Oregon wins by 60 points. And yet, there we were with however many 8 minutes left or whatever, at a 4th and 7 call, feeling
up
like
three.
Up three with
three.
The game on the line
against Idaho.
I don't know if I've ever seen a game like that, which is why I wanted to go back and look at it. And it's just, you can't make excuses because you look around the country, and when you play a Big Sky team, I mean, and I get that Idaho is a decent Big Sky team, but everyone from Washington to Washington State to Bama. When you play these teams, you put your foot in their ass and you just bury them. And even sometimes where it takes a while to get going, and then in the second half, this is what Washington did, then you just mash the Oregon State, by the way, did the same thing. New Oregon State had a pucker factor at the half, too, and then they come out in the second half, and you're like, guys, we're done screwing around. We're going to run the ball, and we're just going to blow you off the ball, and there's nothing you're going to do about it. Oregon couldn't do that. So there is some, like, oh, my God, that's not good. But when you go back and look at it, I can't tell you how close this game was to probably being 28-0 at the half and ending up being 45-10.
That's what Lanning said.
And if it's that, then no one cares. But it wasn't. It was 24-14 and closer than that. And that's why there is a big pucker factor. But it's also why I'm not ready to mash any sort of panic button. So I put it at a solid 5.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't know how you... I don't know how you couldn't be a little concerned.
Absolutely.
Considering the opponent, although you got to give them a lot of credit. Dude, that's a pretty good FBS or FCS team, right?
Yeah, they're Big Sky.
Pretty good.
I think they were like top seven. I think they were seventh or eighth.
And it was kind of cool that that kid grew up, the quarterback grew up a Duck fan and going to Duck games. And so you got to give them credit. There were no explosive plays from Oregon. That was weird.
Yeah.
There was no real juice in the stadium. Like it was just flat. The sideline looked flat. Everything looked flat. The one element that I would like to ask you about, I'm sure a lot of fans are wondering about, is the offensive line.
It was one side of it.
Because that it's like, if you're doing that against Idaho, what's that going to look like against Ohio State?
Problematic. Big time problematic. If I hate calling out college players, because they're kids, but now these guys are getting paid. And even though it's week one, I'll just say it. You got a new center who probably won't be your starting center when you're healthy. So there's that. But your right guard was a freshman All-American last year, and your right tackle is a first-team All-American this year preseason. If you're giving out grades, they were probably the two worst-graded Oregon Ducks, and that is alarming. And when you have a center who, isn't a great player, and you throw him into that mix, that side of your line from the center to the right was problematic all day. They had zero push in the run game. They couldn't stay on the same level when it came to pass blocking. They had a crucial holding penalty. They had two procedure penalties. And this is the weird part. Again, those are two All-Americans. Those are two guys that are NFL guys. That to me is where, believe it or not, it makes me worry less. If those were kind of also ran dudes, and you're like, oh my God, but we've seen them play at high levels. And so I don't know if this is, you're buying your own brand. I don't know if this is, it's a flat game and it's Idaho and you didn't take it seriously. I don't know if maybe it was just, again, some continuity issues, not having really played before. Again, a little bit out of position because the right guard's probably going to slide to center eventually when Bedford comes back in. Yeah. When he comes back in and hopefully he is, he's the transfer, by the way, from Indiana, when he slides back in.
And they're saying he may be available this week. Lanning said today he might play against Boise State.
So that's the biggest issue. Almost all of your pressure came up the middle and from the right side. And then in the run game, it was alarming how little push you got. But I can also tell you from going back and watching that, you had one where James just got caught by the turf monster, or he breaks a 20-yard run. He had another one where his calf cramped. Also, I've never seen more successful ankle tackles in my life. And this is where I give Idaho credit. Those sons of guns rallied to the ball and they tackled amazingly well. Some of that I put on Oregon. Dude, you got to make a guy miss. I mean, there's just times where it's one-on-one where, I'm sorry, that's a Big Sky defender. And you're an Oregon back. You got to make guys miss. The other one that I find a bit disturbing is Idaho came out the entire game and just said, we're just going to play two high safeties and you are not going to get behind us. They had one deep shot, and that was to Stewart at the beginning of the game. And by the way, that should have been a touchdown. It was half a yard over his hands. Otherwise, that's a touchdown. But when you're given a two high safety look, and what that means is you're only playing with seven in the box. You're basically saying you're going to have to bleed it down the field on us. And by the way, they did that really well. I mean, Dylan Gabriel completed
83.7%.
What was he, 41 of 49 or something?
That's right.
Yeah, for 380 yards. I mean,
sometimes
people were bitching about it. I mean, like,
well, but don't you have
you
to
can
just
see both
take,
sides?
Don't you have to just take what the what teams are giving you?
But this is
but the, you have such matchup. You should have such matchup advantages.
You should be beating guys one on one.
Yeah.
And but my thing is, if you're playing a two high safety look, it's really easy to get people out of a two high safety look, and that's just run the ball on them. And if you run the ball for 7 yards a pop, I promise you, they're going to start bringing a guy down in the box. And I kept waiting for those runs to happen, and they didn't. I mean, the fact on a fourth down run with, when you're bringing in multiple tight ends and you can't push an Idaho group off the line, no offense to the Big Sky, but that's my concern. But I do think this offensive line is going to get better when they get healthy and everyone gets to slide back to their right spot. And someone, and I'm guessing this happened right after the game, someone sat down and said, I don't really give a damn that you were a freshman All-American last year. I don't really give a damn that you're a first-team All-American this year and that some people think you're a first-round pick. That's embarrassing tape to put on the field. I mean, Cornelius on the strip sack, and I know Lanning says something about the back and sliding. Dude, you just got beat. I mean, yeah, there may have been a protection thing where the back pushed Gabriel to that direction, and I get left-handed quarterback is different because now you're protecting the blind side. You just got beat. You're an All-American, and you got beat around
Are
the outside
kidding me?
By an Idaho defender. You can't have that happen.
Well, they had guys getting penalized for lining up wrong, too. Yeah. I mean, it's like to the performance after the snap, but also pre-snap penalties by guys that are on both ends of your line that are supposed to be solid all-conference, maybe All-American bookends.
So it's not
entirely too nerve-wracking.
Yes, it's not ideal.
Less than ideal.
Less than ideal.
Entirely too nerve-wracking, but...
But if
in college football, I just want to say, yeah. In college football, this season, moving forward, more than ever, because yeah. They've expanded the playoff... And things have changed. We, you know, with all the realignment and everything, survive in advance is more so now in college football than ever before.
Yeah.
It used to have to have style points. It used to matter what writers or coaches thought of your team. None of that matters. Just win. Survive in advance. Just win. They did that. And Dan Lanning now gets more meat on the motivation bone, urgency bone. Yeah. And I like that. I like that for a team that is, that's reading a lot of good press clippings about themselves.
And you can beat yourself up, but you're also going to go back and look at that tape and say, guys, if we just don't shoot ourselves in the foot and we just play 10% better, we win that game by 40 points. So just sometimes survive in advance. Again, go back and think about what I said about the Alabama game, right? 17-3 last year against South Florida. You can get better.
Yeah. This will be forgotten if Oregon takes gets care better of and just keeps... Yeah.
Boise.
Yeah. Keeps winning. Okay, coming up next, we'll hear Dan Lanning's post-game remarks to the team. It's Isaac and Suk on The Fan. All right, we're discussing Oregon-Idaho. 24-14, not inspiring. I did want to play this real quick. It's about 45 seconds. This was picked off of one of Oregon's, every game they put out the recap.
This is from Ducks versus Them is what they call this series.
Yeah, and it's
weekly.
Yeah, it's after every game.
After every game, win or lose, they put one of these out.
Yeah, so promotional video.
This is where this got big last year after the Utah game and the Colorado game. And,
yes. Yeah. So this we just picked this out of there. It's about 45 seconds of Lanning addressing the team after the game.
I'm disappointed in the process tonight. Not the result, the process. Process wasn't sharp enough. I'm not going to let you down by saying great win. That's not the way I feel. Hey, they played a good game. Credit to them. Do not discredit anything that they did. But I want to own our standard. Our standard doesn't change regardless of who we play. And who we playing? We're playing us. We're playing Oregon. So when you play Oregon next week, what's your measure? What you do is you dust yourself off and say, here's where I can get better. Here's where I can make my team better. Every one of you should be really proud to wear that green. I promise you I'm proud to coach you. A great team can learn from wins. Don't make adversity the reason you learn. Can you learn from tonight?
Yeah, so a little taste. I mean, I know he said after the game when you mentioned that when somebody asked him, hey, what did you tell the team? He's like, well, if I wanted you in there, I would I would tell you. So I'm sure there is another part of that
that's not
quite as arable.
Yep.
But, you know, it almost sounded like a loss. And that's where it's like, that's where my head goes with it. It's like, look, that sucked. I'm sure if you were in the stadium, we were getting some texts from people that were there. We're like, wow, that was pucker factor 10.
Yep.
And it was. That would have been the biggest freaking upset ever. Yep. The biggest one, at least, I think.
Michigan App State.
Yeah, Michigan App State isn't the biggest in terms of point spread, but it's one of the most memorable because Michigan was like a top 10 team at the time.
And it turned out Michigan ended up not being very good.
You know, that's actually
lost like three or four games.
But they were fifth in the country when that happened.
Well, they were number five, and then they lost to Oregon the next week. That's when Oregon went in there and beat the crap out of them.
Oregon smoked them in their house.
Did you know that Michigan that year ended up winning the next eight games?
Yeah, they rolled after that.
And they beat number 12 Florida in a bowl game. Hmm. So they actually ended up being a pretty good team. It's just...
I think they lost a couple more than that, but yeah.
Yeah, they went 8-3. Well, at that time, I think they went 8-3, and then they won a bowl game.
Okay.
But anyway... what was I telling you?
We were talking about Lanning and...
Well, I just think it's good that you have the... Like that... I don't know. I just go to the silver lining. Yeah. And the silver lining is, like, you won the game. It sucked. But it's caught their attention.
Yep.
So they better be good. Now, if you see a lot of the same stuff against Boise State, now you're starting to go, well, wait a minute.
Well, if you see a lot of the same stuff, Boise State will beat you.
What the hell's going on?
Boise State's a much better team.
I mean, but what if they are? I mean, they're getting votes for the top 25, but what if you win the game and it's not that pretty? Yeah. We have a different conversation next week, but I have faith in the coaching staff, and I really think that as loaded as this team is, it's one of those things where I kind of like the fact that it's they have their attention already. Sure. You know, because you could easily sleepwalk through these
and the other thing, games. The other thing you can like is your defense. The defense deserves no blame. The defense was great. The defense was absolutely dominant in everything that you wanted it to be. And the offense put up great numbers. They just didn't get results. I'm telling you, when you watch the film, it's not as bad as people are making it out to be. Totally get the pucker factor. Inexcusable to have a game that is basically a one possession game with 8 minutes left against a Big Sky team. But I'm telling you, it's not as bad on film. And these things do happen. It's correctable. And as long as it moves forward from here, this thing can get put in the distant past. But that Boise State game, to me, takes on a whole new meaning of what I'm looking to see.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you what, starts with one thing and one thing only. Run the damn ball.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I remember I was sitting there watching them thinking, God, you remember the days when these games weren't necessarily gimmies against Oregon and Oregon State? You
absolutely.
Know? Remember, was it Eastern Washington would go and beat Oregon State? And
well, they beat Washington, if I'm not
did
mistaken.
Did they beat Washington?
I think they beat Washington.
And then Oregon lost to...
Well, Oregon hasn't lost to one of these in a while, but like Sacramento, well, Sac State beat Oregon State.
Well, yeah, I think Oregon lost one or two back in the day. I'm just saying, like, back in the day, these games were, like, should-be wins, but also would oftentimes come up, like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, like, whoops.
But
it shouldn't be
the that's the
here.
Worst. That the feeling here is that, man, that should be, as talented as Oregon is, that those days should be over, at least for Oregon, and they weren't, and it's pretty frustrating.
Yeah, you should not be a top eight talent team in the country, and... be in that game with Idaho. You shouldn't. They don't have the Jims and Joes. And honestly, they didn't have the X's and O's either. It's one of those weird, weird, funky games. And we've all been a part of, you play the game long enough, you're a part of them. And luckily, we're not sitting here being like, oh my God, how did we find a way to lose that game? We're saying, how did you, you found a way to win. And ultimately, that's all that matters.
All right. College football week one onesie is coming up next on The Fan.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.